Jayarada Madhava Kunja Bihari Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayarada Madhava Kunja Bihari Radha Madhava Gopijana Vallabha Giriwaradhari Jana Vallabha Giriwaradhari Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Giriwaradhari Vallabha Giriwaradhari Yashoda Nanda Rajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Rajana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Yamuna Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Janava Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Shima Bhagavatam ki Hai Gora Premanande Hari Hari Om Narayanam Namaskritam Naram Chaivam Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Mudiraye Nashtapaisha Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Reading from Gantara Shima Bhagavatam. Canto 9, Chapter 15, Text 31 through 40. Yeah, start with 31 and then we'll read all the way to 40, which has a long purport. Excuse me, Hare Krishna, is it possible not to sing? Well, I'm giving class.
What's that?
I'm giving class, mm-hmm. So is it possible not to sing out loud?
Oh, not to sing?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay, thank you.
But I can walk.
Yeah, you can walk.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. So, I'll read the Sanskrit. There is a small purport to 31, but we'll be reading to text 40. Then we can repeat text 40. Yato yato sao parata parashvado mano niloja parachakra sudanaha tatas tatas chinabujaru kandara nipetu uvyayam hato sutta vahana. Translation. Lord Parashuram, being expert in killing the military strength of the enemy, worked with the speed of the mind and the wind, slicing his enemies with his chopper, Parashu. Wherever he went, the enemies fell, their legs, arms, and shoulders being severed, their chariot drivers killed, and their carriers, the elephants, and the horses all annihilated. Purport. In the beginning, when the army of the enemy was full of fighting soldiers, elephants, and horses, Lord Parashuram proceeded into their midst at the speed of mind to kill them. When somewhat tired, he slowed down to the speed of the wind and continued to kill the enemies vigorously. The speed of mind is greater than the speed of the wind. Text 32. Drishvasva sanyam rudi roga kardame ranajire ramakutara sayakai vivrikina varma dvaja chapa vigrahanam nipatitam hayaya apatadrusha. By manipulating his axe and arrows, Lord Parashuram cut to pieces the shields, flags, bows, and bodies of Kartavirajuna's soldiers, who fell on the battlefield, muddying the ground with their blood. Seeing these reverses, Kartavirajuna, infuriated, rushed to the battlefield. Text 33. Atarjuna panchasateshu bahubir danahu danashu baham banam yugapata sasandade ramaya ramos jabritam samaganis tanyega danveshu bi achintanatsamam. Then Kartavirajuna, with his 1,000 arms, simultaneously fixed arrows on 500 bows to kill Lord Parashuram. But Lord Parashuram, the best of fighters, released enough arrows with only one bow to cut to pieces immediately all the arrows and bows in the hands of Kartavirajuna. Text 34. Punasva hastir achalam ridhe gripan utsipya vegad abhidhavato yudhi bujan kutarena katora nemina chicheda raman rama prasadbam tvahir iva. When his arrows were cut to pieces, Kartavirajuna uprooted many trees and hills with his own hands and again rushed strongly toward Lord Parashuram to kill him. But Parashuram then used his axe with great force to cut off Kartavirajuna's arms, just as one might lop off the hoods of a serpent. Text 35 and 36. Kritabaho sirastasya gire sringam ivahara ate pitari tat putra ayutam dud ruvur payat agniho trim upavartya savasam paraviraha sumupetashramam pitre pariklishtam samarpayat. Thereafter, Parashuram cut off like a mountain peak the head of Kartavirajuna, who had already lost his arms. When Kartavirajuna's 10,000 sons saw their father killed, they all fled in fear. When Parashurama, having killed the enemy, released the Kamadhenu, which had undergone great suffering, and brought it back with its calves to its residence, where he gave it to his father, Jamadagni. Text 37. Sakarma tatkritam rama pitre patyapya evacha varnayam asatat chutva jamadagnir abhasata. Parshuram described to his father and brothers his activities in killing Kartavirarjuna. Upon hearing of these deeds, Jamadagni spoke to his son as follows. Text 38. Rama Rama Mahabaho Bhavan Papam Akarasit Avadin Naradevam Yad Sarvadeva Mayamvrita. O great hero, my dear son Parashuram, you have unnecessarily killed the king, who is supposed to be the embodiment of all the demigods. Thus you have committed a sin. Vayamhi, text 39. Vayamhi brahmanas tata kshamaya hanatam gata yaya loka guru deva paramityam agatpadam. My dear son, we are all brahmanas and have become worshipable for the people in general because of our quality of forgiveness. It is because of this quality that Lord Brahma, the supreme spiritual master of the universe, has achieved this post. Text 40. Chamaye rochate lakshmir Brahmi sori yata prabha Shominam asu bhagavam Tushyate harir ishvara Chamaya rochate lakshmir Brahmi sori yata prabha Kshaminam asu bhagavam Tushyate harir ishvara Kshamaya rachate lakshmir Brahmi sori yata prabha Kshaminam asu bhagavam Tishyate Harir Ishvara. Rock Talk Prabhu, could you grab my bag? Yeah. Thank you. Chamaye rochate lakshmir Te harir ishvara. Word for word. Kshamaya, simply by forgiving. Rochate, becomes pleasing. Lakshmihi, the goddess of fortune. Ramihi, in connection with brahminical qualifications. Sori, the sun god. Yata, as. Prabha, the sunshine. Kshaminam, unto the brahmanas, who are so forgiving. Ashu, very soon. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tushyate, becomes pleased. Harihi, the Lord. Ishvara, the Supreme Controller. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki Jai. The duty of a Brahmana is to culture the quality of forgiveness, which is illuminating like the sun. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari is pleased with those who are forgiving. Purport. Different personalities become beautiful by possessing different qualities. Chanakya Pandit says that the Chaku bird, although very black, is beautiful because of its sweet voice. Similarly, a woman becomes beautiful by her chastity and faithfulness to her husband, and an ugly person becomes beautiful when he becomes a learned scholar. In the same way, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras become beautiful by their qualities. Brahmanas are beautiful when they are forgiving. Kshatriyas are when they are heroic and never retreat from fighting. Vaishyas when they enrich cultural activities and protect cows. And Shudras when they are faithful in the discharge of their duties pleasing to their masters. Thus, everyone becomes beautiful by his special qualities, and the special quality of the Brahmana, as described here, is forgiveness. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvata Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavati Vashyatade Shatarine Panchakopa Trubhyascha Kripasindrubhyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadhi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Thank you all for coming to the morning class. So, in the first verses, it's describing the fight between Lord Parashuram and Kartavirya Arjuna. First, Lord Parashuram took out Kartavirya Arjuna's whole army. That's the verses that we spoke about yesterday. 17 Akshahinis, 17 times 100,000 soldiers, and chariots and horses. Upon hearing that Lord Parashuram took out his army, then Kartavirya Arjuna came to the battlefield himself. And they had a little showdown of power. And it describes the battle a little bit. That Kartavirya Arjuna with his 1,000 arms fixed 500 arrows to kill Lord Parashuram. But then Lord Parashuram released enough arrows with only one bow to cut to pieces all the arrows and bows in the hands of Kartavirya Arjuna. And then after that, Kartavirya Arjuna uprooted trees and hills with his own hands and again rushed strongly toward Lord Parashuram to kill him. So when Kartavirya Arjuna had trees and hills in his arms ready to attack Lord Parashuram, it's described that Lord Parashuram then used his axe with great force to cut off all of Kartavirya Arjuna's arms, just as one might lop off the hoods of a serpent. So he had 1,000 arms, so Lord Parashuram took an axe, cut off the arms of Kartavirya Arjuna. And then right after that, then Parashuram cuts off like a mountain peak the head of Kartavirya Arjuna. So he ultimately, Parashuram killed Kartavirya Arjuna, and in the midst of all 10,000 of his sons, who then it's described that they ran in fear after Parashuram killed Kartavirya Arjuna. So then the next couple verses starting at 37 describes after Lord Parashuram killed Kartavirya Arjuna, he went back to give the news to his father. His father Jamadagni is he's the one that Kartavirya Arjuna stole his Kamadenu cow. And that's the reason why Lord Parashuram in the first place went to battle with Kartavirya Arjuna. But he went back and told his father Jamadagni that that he killed Kartavirya Arjuna, but Jamadagni was not happy about this, and he said that he told his son Lord Parashuram that he's committed a sin because he unnecessarily killed the king. And he said that they're a family of brahmanas, so they're not supposed to, they're supposed to have a quality of forgiveness. So it's described that brahmanas are worshipable from the people in general because of their quality of forgiveness. And so he's chastising Lord Parashuram, saying that he's not representing the family of brahmanas by going to kill Kartavirajuna. I find it pretty interesting. It seems like, well, Lord Parashuram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and it also seems like he has quite a bit of Kshatriya qualities. I'm not sure, I don't know, haven't heard too many brahmanas who can kill so many Akshahinis and so many soldiers and fight like that. But he's born in a brahmana family, so his father's not happy about his going to kill Kartavirajuna. And he describes that, so I wanted to speak about this concept of forgiveness. That's like a nice simple concept to speak of for today's class, for the brahmanas. That can be something we can take out, just focusing in on this quality of the brahmanas to forgive, and why it's important, and how it's done. So, a few examples of forgiveness in the Srimad Bhagavatam, also Chaitanya Charitamrita. One is Prahlad Maharaj. He exhibited forgiveness to his father. He was attacked and tried, his father Hiranyakashipu tried to kill him over and over again, and Prahlad Maharaj was protected by the Supreme Lord, so all his attempts were not successful. Prahlad was still existing, still not being killed, even though Hiranyakashipu was so powerful. But after all these things, Prahlad, after Nrisimhadev manifested to kill Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad Maharaj asked him to forgive his father. So, such an amazing example of someone. It's like really extreme that your father is trying to kill you, and it's such a powerful quality to then still feel love and wanting to help his father Hiranyakashipu even after being after he tried to kill him. Also, Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was beaten in 22 marketplaces by the servants of a Muslim king. Just for chanting, Haridas Thakur was born in a Muslim family, and he was chanting, and he became known as a saintly person. And this king was ordering him to stop chanting, and Haridas Thakur said he would never stop chanting, even if you cut my body up, all the pieces of my body will still chant, something like that. But then he wouldn't stop chanting, and then the king ordered his servants to beat him in public in 22 marketplaces, and said that barely anybody ever survives even one marketplace of this beating. But the whole time that Haridas Thakur was being beaten by these Muslims, he was just asking the Lord not to punish them, for they don't know what they're doing. And he's such a forgiving person. So those are some examples, and I wanted to speak about how to develop how this comes about in someone. How do you develop such a perspective of forgiveness? So I'm going to speak from the Isha Upanishad and also the Bhagavad Gita, a few verses explaining how to develop this forgiveness. So In mantra 6 of the Sri Isha Upanishad, it explains it nicely, how to develop forgiveness. So I'll read the Sanskrit and English. Yastu sarvani bhutani atman evanupashyati sarva bhuteshu chatmanam tato na vijagupshate. Translation. He who systematically sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord, who sees all living entities as his parts and parcels, and who sees the Supreme Lord within everything, never hates anything or any being. And read text 7 as well. Yasmin sarvani bhutani atmaiva buddhijanataha tacho ko mohasaka shoka ekatvam anupasyata. One who always sees all living entities as spiritual sparks, in quality one with the Lord, becomes a true knower of things. What then can be illusion or anxiety for him? So, these verses are explaining how this vision comes about. It's by developing the understanding that everyone is a part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. It's described, one who sees everything in relation to the Supreme, to Krishna, never hates anyone, and is never angry with anyone. So there's no anxiety for him. So someone who's fixed in this vision of seeing everything in relation to Krishna, it doesn't, even though they may be getting attacked or beaten or attacked by their own father, they still have this level of forgiveness, because they see still even their attackers are still parts of Krishna. So so they see everyone like that, and that allows them to maintain that connection, even though they just see that their attackers are conditioned souls. So they forgive them. They see that they're under the modes of material nature. They're pure spiritual souls, but they're just under the modes of nature, and they happen to be being used in some way they're hurting them. They're like with Prahlad Maharaj, they're trying to attack me, but they're conditioned souls. So there's that deep forgiveness going on. In the Bhagavad Gita, there's the verse 519, which explains it nicely also, the same point. Vidya vinaya sampane brahmane gavihastini suni chaiva svapakecha pandita samadarshana. The humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with equal vision a learned and gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater. And then in chapter 13, text 28 or 29, samam pasyan hi sarvatra samavashtim ishvaram nahi nasyatmanatmanam tato yati param gatim. One who sees the Supersoul equally present everywhere in every living being does not degrade himself by his mind. Thus he approaches the transcendental destination. So he sees the Supersoul equally present everywhere in every living being, and he does not degrade himself by his mind. Thus he approaches the transcendental destination. So the idea is, the essence is, we become Krishna conscious. We become conscious that there's a Supreme Personality behind everything, and a Supreme Loving Personality, and every person that we see, everything, even all the material energy and all the living beings in the material energy are parts of this Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he's also situated in the heart of all these living entities, and he loves everyone, even though they have turned away from him. So someone who develops this consciousness of Krishna can ultimately be forgiving to all circumstances, and instead of feeling hurt by anything that anybody does to them, it's simply we feel someone in Krishna consciousness feels sorry for the person and wishes to still help them become more fixed in their Krishna consciousness, or bring them to the spiritual consciousness, instead of trying to put them down, saying you're in Maya, you're like this, you're like that. It's the quality of the Brahmana is to not give into that, into that tendency, and to forgive everyone for whatever they do, and try to elevate them to Krishna consciousness. So that's the purpose in society of the Brahmanas. That's why Brahmanas have to be forgiving, is because their duty is to teach. Their duty is to teach and to elevate the consciousness of the lower varnas, the kshatriyas, the vaishyas, and shudras, who are bound to make some mistakes in their, and they won't have the best qualities. So the duty of the Brahmana is to uplift the consciousness, and that's why it takes a lot of forgiveness, because their students won't always be perfect. We see that in also the example of Srila Prabhupada when he was first coming to America, and in general his whole time as the pastime of his position as the founder Acharya. He had to deal with so many shortcomings of his students, and I can't even imagine how much he had to forgive his disciples when they weren't nearly close to the culture, Brahminical standard, the Vedic culture, especially in the beginning. And he had to continuously be tolerant and forgiving of the all the degradation and misconceptions of his students. On Monday I went to the yoga studio, and I've been going there on a weekly basis, and the people there they're really nice, and they like chanting, they like bhakti yoga, the principles of bhakti yoga, but almost every other minute they say some like ridiculous Mayavadi misconception, like we're all God, or like any path is okay, and all these things. They have all these misconceptions, but I just keep trying to keep chanting and try to get them to keep chanting and hearing a little bit of Bhagavad Gita. I don't like just hammer everything they say. Whenever they say something that's a misconception, I don't try to correct them right away. I just try to give. I'm trying to give them a taste for chanting, and so that will clear their heart gradually. If they just get a taste for chanting, they like the process of bhakti. I'm sure that Srila Prabhupada also didn't have the time to correct every thing that his young students had misconceptions on. Like every time they said something, he couldn't be there, but instead he kept chanting, kept giving classes, and slowly people started getting the right conception, and they started being cleansed. So to preach Krishna consciousness, you have to have this develop this forgiveness of this the people who you're trying to uplift. You can't be overly like punishing or correcting, and because you have to give them a realistic opportunity to grow and to be purified. So they're not gonna be free of their, you know, impersonal atheistic tendencies right away. But we can keep with forgiveness and tolerance. We keep giving them the holy name, keep giving them the experience of associating with devotees. This is one of the huge principles of successful preaching, as we've seen by Srila Prabhupada. To when people, especially even when people come to the temple and they start practicing, we should also learn to stress and practice our forgiveness of people who are new. They're not aware of the Vedic principles, so we shouldn't be so surprised if someone acts a little bit strange or is a little bit weird. Should gradually try to correct them if they're serious, but you should be ready to give them all the mercy and compassion that we have, even if they're a little strange or they have Mayavadi tendencies or things like that. I know in myself, sometimes like when people have come and I see they're instantly kind of like Mayavadi people, maybe they worship Lord Shiva, or they just like, maybe they just really like their girlfriend or something. All these things, it's like, it's obvious that that's going to be there with people. And so shouldn't give up on these people if they have these things. We should just try to keep giving them the mantra and try to encourage them to chant wherever they're at. And just encourage them and uplift them. That's the duty of the brahmanas. And that's the duty of Vaishnavas, and the instruction of Srila Prabhupada is to spread Krishna consciousness. So that's a little bit to speaking about the quality of forgiveness. How to develop it is by learning to see everything in relation to Krishna and everybody as a part and parcel of Krishna. And then why do we develop forgiveness? So we can spread Krishna consciousness to people who are full of mistakes and degraded qualities, especially in America. Anyone on the street, they may be sincere, but they're doing such degraded activities due to the culture that's at hand. We should be forgiving and still give them our love, give them our association, give them the holy name, all these things. It takes great forgiveness. And another point, just I can end on this the point that Prabhupada's making is that different personalities in the purport, he says that different personalities become beautiful by possessing different qualities. He describes that that brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, and shudras all become beautiful by performing their particular activity. The brahmanas by being forgiving, the kshatriyas by being heroic, the vaishyas by enriching cultural activities and cow protection, and the shudras are beautiful when they are faithful in the discharge of their duties, pleasing to their masters. So I find this to be a nice meditation on the Varnashram Dharma system. Everyone becomes glorious in the Varnashram system when there's the society is directed with Krishna in the center. Everything runs so smoothly that even the Shudras become glorious and beautiful because they're serving properly and they're doing their duty and everything is pleasant and nice. We heard in the previous pastime of Lord Ramachandra, when Lord Ramachandra was present and in his everyone was completely satisfied in doing their duty because Lord Ramachandra was present and the system of Varnashram was perfectly running. So the Shudras weren't mad about being a Shudra. They were happy doing their simple duty and they got to serve Lord Ramachandra in a simple way. They were protected and they had a simple life and a simple devotional life. So even the Shudras and the Vaishyas, even though they're lower rings of society, when there's proper Varnashram, they also become glorious personalities. When everything is working smoothly, everything is working together. So that's the beauty of the Varnashram system, is people who have tendencies or natures that don't allow them necessarily to be brahmanas, like full-time preachers in our ashrams. But if we can develop some programs and some systems of engaging people in the tendencies to make money in a mode of goodness way, and to work within within the association of devotees, a lifestyle, a sattvic lifestyle, that would provide people who aren't fully qualified necessarily within their nature, within their psychophysical nature, to be full-time brahmacharis or brahmanas in the temple, but they can still have a full life of devotional service. That's the beauty of the varnashram system, is engaging everyone according to their propensities, and everyone becomes beautiful devotees, because everything is in relation to Krishna. So this is the glory of the varnashram system as described here in the purport. So those are my thoughts on this topic. If there's any questions, comments, you could add something. I think that's working. I think so, but it was working.
All right, Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. I don't know if I have it in a question form, but maybe I do have a question, actually. Maybe you could expand on it. But one thing I like to keep in mind for my own peace of mind, obviously, is forgiveness. But the one thing I appreciate about the great saints is what makes them beautiful is their forgiveness, their humility, their tolerance, their qualities, etc. And I realized that these qualities are used not when things go our way, but when things don't go our way. You never hear someone say to their rich parents, "My dear father and mother, I forgive you for giving me an expensive car for my sweet 16th birthday. I'll tolerate all the honor and respect." No, we tolerate, you know, people who don't give us respect, forgiveness. So my question is related to the point between forgiveness and a diametrically opposite quality, vengeance. Now, usually sometimes we take vengeance to be justice. And the one thing I've observed in myself and over the years between everyone, because we all have similar qualities, is that even if we get justice, even if we call our vengeance justice, or even if it is justice, and we remove the person from our life who's done us wrong. Now, in people's normal conversation, they still glorify the person we got justice against. And we see in the material world all the time, when people glorify somebody you don't like, that brings you great unhappiness. And so my understanding, like, what is the use of your justice if you still become happy every time somebody speaks the name of the person you don't like? So what is the use of your justice? So that's why I appreciate about forgiveness, is that we can't control who people glorify. So you might as well forgive, otherwise you'll be mad all the time. So your justice is useless. So my question is that a lot of times people want to quote Arjuna, that he got justice, I need to do my duty and get justice like Arjuna. But Arjuna never wanted to hurt his adversaries. So how do you distinguish between vengeance and justice? So I guess that's my question.
That reminds me of a point I wanted to make. It's a good point. Thank you for bringing it up. It's like, my understanding is why we don't want to forgive people and why we have this tendency to hold grudges against people or get angry with people. So I was reading, the definition of forgiveness is not getting angry with people when they do something wrong. That's the definition I saw on Google, the definition of forgiveness, not getting angry with people when they do something wrong. So, in general, when we have our own, when we're deeply invested in our own plan for enjoyment or our own plan for power, I find when we're self-interested and self-motivated, we want to do things to glorify ourselves, even within devotional service. Like, I want to do this kirtan to be so people will see that I can sing well. Or I want to do this service so then everyone likes me and things like that. But then when someone, you're trying to do that, and then you're trying to do a nice kirtan, and then someone plays the kartels a little off or nobody's chanting very loudly, so it's kind of quiet, and it's not really that great of a kirtan. But you're trying to glorify yourself, you know, you're deeply invested with it, and then the anger comes. And I have so much experience with that because I'm so contaminated that leading kirtan, and not when it's not so nice, and nobody's singing along, especially at like the Sunday feast when there's like 100 people, but you can barely hear anybody chanting, and you're just like trying to get the kirtan going. It's so embarrassing if you have self-motivated pride and you're doing it for yourself. And then you get angry. You say, all these people, they don't even know, like, to chant. They don't even chant Hare Krishna. But mostly, they're probably not chanting because the leader is not chanting nicely. Also, I find that experience. Whereas if I don't pay attention, I don't care if they chant loud or not. It's not for me, it's for Krishna. So no matter what, in my service, I'll just do my duty with focus and attention and care, no matter what the result is. And then people respect it and like to chant along because they can feel, even if they're not like feeling like they have to because the person's on the ego trip, like having to chant loud for them, you know. So this is kind of the difference between that. That's what helps me focus on not getting angry at people and forgiving people, because it's not about me no matter what I'm doing. I'm just trying to serve, so it doesn't matter what the result is. I'm just doing my best. If they chant, like just using the kirtan example, if people chant along with me really nicely, then that's amazing. I'll be super happy. If they don't, what can I do? You know, I'm not going to get angry at them, try to seek vengeance. That goes with anything then. If you're fixed in a service and you're just going to do it no matter what, then you're not going to get angry at people. But if you're trying to do something for your own and then someone comes along and they're kind of disrupting what you want to do for your own program, then there's vengeance and there's anger and there's competition. So that's the difference, is selflessness and a mood of selfless service. And then everyone becomes a possible person who can help you, even if they like sometimes make you upset. But you should still, like Prabhupada and great Vaishnavas who preach, even if people you know, they're not perfect and they have bad qualities, still try to engage them if you're trying to serve the mission, instead of getting angry with people and then they end up leaving because the leader is some angry guy who can't forgive little mistakes. So this is a big nice quality of someone who's going to be a leader in Krishna consciousness. If you get angry at people for just little mistakes, then it's like nobody's going to want to work with you and help if you really want to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission. So, yeah. Do you have something? Okay. Right. Thank you for your attention and participation. Gantara Shima Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Thai Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bo.